Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to Dusty and Cam podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center. Doing the right thing since 1952.
Dusty and Cam in the morning.
Stay here. Stay as long as you can.
For the love of God, cherish it.
With Dusty Hera.
That's so sad for my team and me. I'm such a big supporter.
And NFL veteran Cam Cleland.
Oh, you can count. Good for you.
And you can count on me waiting for you in the parking lot.
On 1080.
It's showtime.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Dusty here at Cam Cleland with you. It was a beautiful Monday morning. properly rated coaches in college football is going to be a heck of a deal as we go down the line here. Because if Nick Saban's overrated, who is properly rated in college football in the coaching hierarchy? We'll have more on that. Coming up this hour, we'll also have our case of the Mondays, 55305, Better You Today text line. Send them our way. We already got a couple good ones coming in, hot and heavy. We'll have a lot of NFL chatter this hour, but right now, it's 7:05.
What's hot?
Spoken!
What's hot and why is it cool?
They're cool because they're hot!
Hot and cool with Dusty and Cam. Your morning dose of positivity ripped from the headlines.
Great story. Compelling and rich.
Brought to you on the fan by Area Heating and Cooling. With more than 30 trucks in Portland and Vancouver, you won't have to wait on Area.
Feeling hot.
Dogs 24/7 reporting over the weekend. Contracts are in the works to have the University of Oregon and Georgia open up the 2022 season in Atlanta, a nice neutral site game between the two. Georgia playing Oregon in Atlanta. Yeah. It'll probably be 50-50 split right down the middle of the stadium.
Eventually when LA gets that stadium, we'll get these games, Pac-12, we'll come out really? Here.
But how about the Las Vegas kickoff?
That's the one I want. Yep.
Yeah, Las Vegas and LA. When this happens, and until that happens, which is not until 2022 and on any further, you know what, Pac-12? We're going to be heading east.
And down south.
Get your road trip ready.
It's like when Oregon played LSU in the Cowboy Kickoff Classic. Yeah. And when Oregon State played down there, it's like when Oregon played LSU, the stadium was, it's like 90 miles to Baton Rouge, right? From Dallas or whatever. Yeah. No.
I think that's Houston, but it's still really close. It's not a very far. Like they can drive it from LSU.
Yeah, and they did.
In droves.
Were you at that game, Buck?
I was.
I had buddies that went to that said it was like 4-1 to LSU fans.
Oh, yeah. It felt like it was. Yeah,
no such thing.
That sounds about right. 4-1, yeah.
Neutral site on the road when you play an SEC team.
Yeah, that's going to be UW's reality in 2 weeks here.
Oh, yeah. It happened very quickly.
Do you think that they
could play? It'll be 80-20. That's my prediction.
All right. Oregon plays Georgia in Missoula, Montana. Who has more fans? Because that may be the place.
It's still Georgia.
Because that may be the place where it's too expensive to fly from Atlanta.
I don't know. It doesn't matter. They're getting on a train, getting the RVs loaded up.
That midnight train.
Yeah.
But this one's from Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
How fun would that be?
The coolest story I've ever heard in my entire life.
Take a train?
Yeah.
I'd love to take a train.
Just leave on a Thursday and head to a game, get in one of those cars like the back, like Babe Ruth had in the back, and just drink your way into the fun of the game and just
tailgate
get there.
The train?
How awesome would that be?
Ride the rails like a hobo.
What?
No, I'm just talking hopping on the back, have all your tailgating in a little stick with a little handkerchief on it.
It'd be a lot of fun.
No, that would be fun, though, if you were to, like, take an Amtrak. We could do a show on there.
Amtrak? I'm talking the custom train.
Are there multiple trains that
run? I don't know. Can you get it? Can I get an old school? I want a steam engine train.
Mm-hmm. All right. Perfect.
All right. Sorry.
Hey, UCLA dealt a big blow yesterday. Starting linebacker Josh Woods ruled out for the year with a knee injury. How important is this injury? We all know how much of a stick in the mud Chip Kelly is with injuries.
Mm-hmm.
He said, this is a big one. And he sent thoughts and prayers to Josh Woods.
That's awful.
Which is weird.
Now, we've had USC have lost their starting middle linebacker. Now you have UCLA losing their middle linebacker in practice.
We're talking about practice?
Practice, man.
We're talking about practice.
Injuries.
Oh, hot.
The Winco Foods Portland Open came to a close yesterday out at Pumpkin Ridge Golf Club. Some JM making web.com tour history at Pumpkin Ridge. With his win at 18 under par, he became the first player to lead the money list the entire season, bookending his season with a win in the Bahamas at the very beginning and the end of the regular season with that win out at Pumpkin Ridge. 25 tour cards were handed out yesterday. We discussed on Friday morning show Derek Ernst, who ended up actually with the 36-hole record of the Winco Foods Portland Open. He needed a win to secure his tour card. In the final 2 days, he finished 2 over par, finished 12 under. He'll have to go through the playoffs. The most heartbreaking one, though, Kevin Doherty. He's from California. He's friends with Ricky Fowler, golfed at Oklahoma State. Missed a chip. It rolled within an inch of that cup. That would have given him his tour card. Instead, he ended up on the 18th green with tears in his eyes.
It's hard to understand that. But you think about 4 rounds of golf. It's like one putt go in, one extra shot, one thing, and it comes down to the last one, and man.
Oh, that sucks for him.
Game of inches.
But although that is sad news, the good news is that Kevin Doherty missed his tour card, but somebody else would have gotten theirs taken away. And it would have been Hank Lebioda, who from Orlando, Florida, who ended up getting his tour card, the 25th final one.
Anyway, Hank. Good for you, Hank.
Hammering. See,
one tough story and one good story.
That's right.
Everybody can't get a trophy.
No. Or a tour card.
Or a tour card.
I'm still waiting on mine, though. I think they said mine's in the mail.
And that's cool. That's cool.
Major League Baseball scoreboard from a day ago. You want to talk about the Mariners?
Nope.
Well, I don't want to talk about the Astros either. Good God. Well, yesterday the Mariners ended up losing to the Doyers.
God, they got obliterated in 2 games.
12-1.
They got 12-1, and then they lost 11-1 in game one, and then snuck a game out on a balk. They went on a balk.
Well, there's
a balk off.
It was a balk off.
There's
it
nothing was. Wrong with a hey, walk off balk.
Whatever way you got to do it, guys. And the Dodgers lead the league in home runs, and you know why.
Because they hit the ball.
Launch angle. Crap out of the ball.
Launch angle is a good one, bud.
Launch angle. Exit velo.
Exit velo.
Beat you.
That was good, yeah. Also, to add insult to injury, the game was ended on an immaculate inning. 9 pitches, 3 strikeouts for the Mariners to end that game. They sit 3.5 games back of the Houston Astros in the AL West, or 4.5 back of Houston. Who is now 1 game up on the A's with a 9-4 win. They ended up dropping 2 of 3 to the Athletics, and heading into yesterday, AL West was even Stevens there. They are 3.5 back, the Mariners are, of the Oakland Athletics for that final wild card spot. Pivotal matchup coming up for the Mariners this week as they start the week against the Houston Astros could decide their fate in their season.
I will stand by my prediction that if the Mariners are not within 4 games by September, the start of the month in September, it is going to be another missed year.
So there's that sign of optimism on this
optimistic.
Monday for all the Mariner fans out there.
Telling me there's a chance.
It's hot. Damn hot. Real hot.
Good news for all you Cal bros out there. Cowboys guard Zach Martin avoided a scare on Saturday as an MRI revealed some positive news. No structural damage, hyperextension of his knee. He likely won't play the rest of the preseason. They do hope to get him back for week 1 of the regular season. That would be a massive injury for the Cowboys if he were to go down.
Yeah, just hyperextension. So that means he gets 2.5 weeks off for the regular season.
Ooh, and gets all his money for it.
Yeah.
All right, that's what's hot and cool on the fan. It's brought to you by Area Heating and Cooling. More than 30 trucks in Portland and Vancouver. You won't have to wait on Area, your local train comfort specialist. It's hard to stop a train. Carson Wentz returns while AJ McCarron goes out. And guess what? Second chances, they can still happen. 713 on the Fan.
We would normally, we would, you know, kind of do the same thing, you know, with whether it was Carson Nick or Nick Carson. And so we're still evaluating, but this is all part of the process and the plan that we've established for Carson moving forward.
Doug Peterson, head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Carson Wentz cleared to return 11 on 11 yesterday. Hey, that's a big step.
Cleared to return to 11 on 11 in team, but not cleared to play in games.
What the hell's the difference?
There's a big difference.
Okay. Yes, it is. This is a big step in his recovery.
Sure, it is.
But it is an insignificant step when it comes down to will it be the determining factor in him playing week one? Because think about this. You practice 2 weeks before you play in your first preseason game? Isn't that about right? Isn't that the timetable?
Yeah.
Practice 2 weeks, then you have your first preseason game, and then you have four of those before you play in a regular season game, and they deem you ready, right?
Yeah, essentially, I mean, all training camps are around 6 weeks. I mean, that's just, you kind of look at your preseason as a good 6 weeks, and then you get ready for that grind of the 16-week.
So essentially what they're saying is that he's cleared for 11-11, so this is where his 2 weeks before a preseason game would even start. So then you would probably say he's probably got a couple weeks after that to when he would be ready to go, which would put him week three about of the regular season.
I don't know. He's just over 9 months. I mean, we're talking December 10th.
Yeah.
We know how quickly that surgery happened. So we're a little over 9 months of full recovery. And the question was, can it handle it? Mm-hmm. Well, you got to get back out there and just start getting after it. The reports are his legs are strong. His velocity is back. Everything that there is so much better.
Whoa, stop. Velo, bro.
Sorry, his velo. Okay. His velo is back. Of course, he's got another year of strength training. Can you imagine those guys once? I mean, we saw Andrew Luck, and all he did was lift weights. Mm-hmm. I mean, he looked like a linebacker when he got done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So take care of your body, and they need him when? That's the best question for the Philadelphia Eagles. When do they need him?
As soon as possible.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to have him. Be nice to have him. What do you think of, though, him just stepping in, getting the first team reps and splitting them 50-50 with Nick Foles right away, which is something that they're doing? And, I mean, I get it that you want to get him in with the first team, but aren't you also at the same time sitting there going, man, we need to prepare to have Nick Foles right now because Carson Wentz is still so limited in what he does. Why not just side him with the twos for now until he is a little bit more ready to go?
I don't think Doug Peterson ever wavered off the fact that Carson Wentz is the sheriff, man. He is the starter.
Yeah.
He's the guy. I don't think it's ever been in question.
Nick Foles seems to think that too.
Yeah. Well, he knows it.
Yeah.
And I don't think Nick Foles has a problem with it either. Because he would have asked for a trade. He would have been one of the guys. And remember all the stories about Nick Foles, and you got to hear during the Super Bowl what it was like to be him and his family. He is not one of those guys that's going to be, check me out, I want to release, I want mine. Mm-hmm. He's not. I mean, it's just clearly, he is a team guy, got a Super Bowl championship. I mean, he can just sit back and wait and see when the next opportunity will arrive.
Well, one of those guys that wants to be a starter is Josh Allen, the rookie in Buffalo. And it looks like he's going to get his chance to take over the starting reins for the time being, as AJ McCarron went down with a hairline fracture of his collarbone.
And I heard today, that one draft analysis superstar. I mean, it comes down to who do you do it when Mel Kiper gives you an outline of football, because he understands it from Josh Allen's perspective. He came out and he said today, if the Bills start Josh Allen it would be the worst thing they've ever done in the history of their franchise.
Wow.
That's a heck of a claim.
I mean, we're talking about the Buffalo Bills here.
Yeah. I think when he means in quarterback is that this kid is not even close to ready. And so you have to start Nathan Peterman. Yes, the 5 interception to the LA Chargers, Nathan Peterman.
Because Nathan Peterman's so ready.
Wait, there should be a big qualifier there. In the first half.
Yeah.
Nathan Peterman did that in the first half.
Now,
which
he's
is an incredible
still a pro. I mean, AJ McCarron goes down with that fracture. So you know that's, even if it's a hairline fracture, that's 6 weeks. Is it? I mean, see you later. Okay.
If you're sitting there and your top 10 pick is still a guy that you're at third string right now, should that say something about Buffalo and Josh Allen? If he's top 10 pick, he's a quarterback, and you he's third string on your team right now. When your starter goes out, he's not the guy even stepping up.
Well, remember what Jalen Ramsey said about Josh Allen?
Trash.
Never won a big game ever in college. Never beat anybody in a big game. So now you're playing against the best in the world. Do you want to see him thrown to the wolves or do you want to just get him reps? Because game reps, there's no simulation of game reps. Game reps are the ultimate thing you can do. You can have practice reps. Practice reps are good. Scrimmage reps are good. Live game reps are just, you cannot replace those. And experience, could you simplify the offense enough? Could the Buffalo Bills really protect him and really simplify it down to let him not make those mistakes?
Not in the regular season, man.
You don't have a chance in the regular season.
And that's the...
Your defense isn't... I mean, do you think of Buffalo as defensive team? Yes, they made the playoffs since the first time since 1999, but it doesn't matter.
I think that they are a good defensive team.
Well, certainly they're in a good defense, but are you winning that division with Josh Allen?
No. Are you winning that division with anybody?
No, because the Patriots are going to win that division.
Exactly. So I think that would be, but that would be a big concern to me. Like, I'm all for sitting a quarterback who's a rookie, letting him learn for a year. But the fact that he would be third string behind Nathan Peterman at this point, that'd be a little concerning if I'm a Buffalo Bills fan. For Cleveland, though, they got a little bright spot. Josh Gordon announced his return over the weekend, and from his mental and physical health assessment and break, he was in his alcohol and drug treatment program that he's in. He needed some time to just step back. I look at that. His reception was glowing by everybody. And we hear a lot of people say, oh, second chances are done in the NFL now. Josh Gordon is the prime example that you can get a second chance as long as you're contrite and you accept blame for what you do. I mean, he was written off as a guy who never understand it, never get it. I think that the reception he got from people on social media, the media, I think that was awesome to see that the guy's making an effort at it and people understand it.
If he didn't look like he did or had the talent he did, what would he be doing with the NFL?
What do you mean?
If he didn't have the physical tools and the gifts that he had, what would the league have already done to him?
Oh, they would have cycled him out already. Yeah. But isn't that everybody in the league?
Not everybody. Not always. There's guys that get chances that are just because they're... I mean, I play with guys that are not great athletes that wouldn't have started on my college, but found ways to stay in the league. Found ways because they knew somebody. And they had this, and they could be a backup, and they could look at that. I mean, there's backup quarterbacks that I played with that wouldn't even have started for Eastern Washington. I mean, they're really, really not that good. But they knew somebody or knew a coach, so the good old boys. But that's the difference with this. When you are a freak mutant athlete, and that's what he is. He's a freak mutant athlete. How many more chances does he deserve? The league will tell you when you're done. They will always let you know.
But the public won't always, and the public is telling him.
The public doesn't care.
I know, but that's the thing I'm talking about, is that the public has given him a second chance, and people complain out there, oh, nobody gets a second chance anymore. No people
what about
that
seven chances?
People that accept blame and are contrite with it, they tend to get a second chance, and that's what Josh Gordon has done, and I give that guy credit for owning it in a time where not a lot of people do own to their faults and their BS. And Josh Gordon, if you look at the way that people feel about Josh Gordon, everybody that said he blew a chance, he's saying, I blew it.
Yeah.
Now I'm trying everything I can to work my way back to it.
Yeah, he's owned it.
Yeah. And so that was a positive sign to see over the weekend. And I can't wait to watch the Hard Knocks episode on his return.
Mm-hmm.
That probably won't be this week's episode either. The Seahawks had their second preseason game, and boy, was that a little shaky. And you mentioned backup quarterbacks around the league. There's a report that they tried to give up a lot to get Indy's backup. I'm watching a little video here from the Little League Classic out at Williamsport. Yesterday, the Mets and the Phillies played in the second annual Little League Classic, where they take two big league teams, plop them in Williamsport, and they play at the minor league stadium there. That is cool, man. Like, you had the entire pitching rotation for the Mets, who weren't the starters, they ended up going up and sitting in the stands with all the little leaguers in their uniforms out there. But I am watching some redneck innovation at its finest. Did you see the locals?
The local? Oh, so no, I wasn't looking at some of that. I've been looking at some of the players sitting in the stands, teaching guys how to throw curveballs.
Yeah, no.
Noah Syndergaard was doing all that. He was doing hand gestures and showing him how to go to
the... Yeah, that was cool. I did see the locals.
I didn't see the locals.
The locals, I'm retweeting this at @Dusty_Hara. It may be one of the best things I've seen all day. You got these redneck fellers who, they put up some scaffolding behind the right center fence.
Nice.
And you can tell they own the property directly behind because there's an old rickety barn. And they're like, major league game. So they put up scaffolding and... they're up there in their lawn chairs with their cooler beer, and there's video of them just clearing out branches before they before the game started. And they went up and just parked it right behind their own beers, free ticket to the game, man. America.
You got to take advantage of whatever opportunity you got. Get some scaffolding laying around the house. Go get some beer. Watch some baseball.
It's worth renting it because there's only like 2,300 tickets. 2,300 seats in that whole thing. And you think of all the little leaguers and their families take up a lot of those tickets.
Sure.
It's a tough ticket to get.
Not enough space. Sport.
Especially if most of your shirts don't have sleeves, you know, because that was these guys just rocking out and partying in the right center bleachers that they created themselves.
Self-made bleachers, yeah.
That's right. What'd you think of the Seahawks 24-14 loss to the Chargers week two preseason? A little shaky.
Yeah,
for Seattle.
Yeah, not great on offense. Still trying to wonder what Coach Schottenheimer is trying to. I mean, remember, this is preseason football, so you're not game planning. So they've been installing. They've been putting in the plays they want. The verbiage is different. The language is different. All the things that you're going to see in football right now in the preseason is all that those pre-camp install. So you're not going to see a lot of the sexy kind of offense that you're expecting. It was more about the defense that I was looking at. It's like, where's the depth?
Yeah.
Right now.
Where is the depth? Kind of got shredded. Yeah. Offensively, I think a lot of the people criticizing the offense, they moved the ball in between the 20s fantastically.
Yeah, just couldn't finish.
Actually, they got down inside the 10-yard line often. But if you look at it, one thing I love about Brian Schottenheimer's offense that he's allowing Russell Wilson to take more shots. And, I mean, you're looking at, he had two pretty deep ones. Mm-hmm. In that game, I think he had a 46-yarder. Even they're letting Russell Wilson take shots, but that right side of the offensive line still a big concern, especially when you had to put Roos in there and at right guard and a Fetty at right tackle.
I think Jermaine or Fetty is on borrowed time already. I think that is a lot. That's a miss.
Borrowed time though. They are consistently saying that he's going to be the guy at right tackle.
Well, they have to say that because they put that kind of high draft choice on him. He comes out of nowhere this year and sharpens up and really has a really big time sophomore season. That is a major liability in my opinion.
You're going to get Russell Wilson killed.
Well, you got to see him. There's a couple different pass rushes. And by the way, the Chargers, man, can get to the quarterback as good as anybody.
They're going
to
be real good. As everybody's buying stock.
My pick for winning that division.
As everybody's buying stock in the Chiefs and the Raiders, the Chargers just sat there one game out of the playoffs last year, getting better. And I don't know, man. Yeah, Philip Rivers may have his run this year in him near the end of his career. They're going to be dang good. Ingram and then Bosa, obviously, with that pass rush, they're stinking good. But the defense, though, you mentioned the holes and the depth there. That secondary looks pretty thin without Earl Thomas roaming.
Well, it looks thin. I mean, Earl Thomas does so much. I know that the Seahawks have always been able to develop guys that we didn't know. We never knew who Earl Thomas was. We didn't know who Cam Chancellor was. We had no idea that a fifth-round pick from Stanford would turn into Richard Sherman. And, of course, Brandon Brown. I mean, these guys, this is what happens. So can the Seahawks recreate lightning in a bottle again with some of these new players and see some of that? Time will tell.
See, but we did
but
know.
But you don't have that kind of patience with Pete Carroll at 66 years old.
We did know what Earl Thomas was, though. I mean, he was an All-American, and he was like that.
There's lots of All-Americans come to the league,
but
Dusty.
He was that first-round pick, and he was that guy that you were expecting, and without him, you're seeing how glaring those holes have been. I mean, he was the linchpin to that thing, to where he's like the guy that was too expendable with Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor.
If you remember when Earl came in, Lawyer Malloy was still on the team. And I remember talking to Lawyer saying, yeah, this kid's going to be legit. He just needs more time to develop and understand it. And of course, Earl Thomas has had major injuries, but he is a center fielder as good as anybody that's played the game with his size and speed and ground closing ability. That's what he has. Yeah. But without him back there, I don't know if he feels like he wants to lead this crop of guys that he's got no connection to if the money's not right.
Well, in that game, in this secondary, and the way they've looked, it may be the biggest thing that forces the hand of Seattle to move him and maybe not be so hard-lined on the offers that they're making. And we all know when these sorts of things happen, what could be is that the best offer that they were going to get for Earl Thomas may already be in the rearview mirror.
I don't know if it's in the rearview. I don't think so. I think that there's going to be some desperate team out there and somebody's going to need a move and somebody's going to be willing to give it.
And it may be Seattle, though.
Right now, I think Seattle's biggest concern, I know it sounds strange, I know defense, but their backup quarterback situation.
Without Russell Wilson in the game.
It's crickets.
It's bad. It's really bad right now. And there's a report on the heels of that game that the Seattle Seahawks offered a second round pick to Indianapolis for Jacoby Brissett. And they got rebuffed on that offer. But Austin Davis and
Alex Magoo.
Mr. Magoo. And Alex,
I know that's not his name. That's a great name, though.
It is a great name.
You should go Magoo.
I would just do it, McGuff.
But are Austin Davis and Alex McGuff, those guys aren't backup quarterbacks in the NFL, man. They're going to be in trouble if Russell Wilson ever gets hurt. And with Jermaine Ifedi, as we were talking about at right tackle,
yeah,
Russell Wilson, how many more years can he take hits like that?
I don't know. Maybe if he keeps taking care of his body. He can't. I think you're going to see what they did with Schottenheimer did with the Jets with Mark Sanchez,
which is
keeping him in the pocket more and getting the ball out. You're going to see him get out of it quicker. You're going to see more fullback running the football. They're not going to let Russell Wilson extend those plays like last year. That was terrifying. You know, I remember the play versus Arizona on Monday night, or it was a Sunday night game when he spun around, flipped. I don't know if we're going to see all those. Now, I know all of you are Seahawks fans. You go, that's what he does so well, and we need those kind of plays. Yeah, but how are you going to live and die on that? There's no way you can nobody designs plays for play extension. You don't walk around as a coordinator and go, here, let's hold the ball for 10 seconds and see what happens.
And that's the scariest thing about Russell Wilson is that that's not who he's been ever. Is a catch the ball, get it out of your hands quickly. And you're going to have to you're going to have to teach that old dog a few new tricks here in getting the ball out early. Does that worry you? Does that concern you?
It's football, man. You're going to get hurt. Remember what happened?
The retraining him.
No, because that's the evolution of becoming an elite quarterback. That's where I think Russell Wilson takes that tier one ultimate step where he becomes a top five, and he is in my tier one. Russell Wilson is my tier one, but he's got to compete with the top guys. And what separates him and why Aaron Rodgers is so good? Because accuracy, ability to get the ball out of his hands quickly. That's the one thing that I would like to see Russell Wilson develop, is a faster out of his hand ball.
Who's a guy that has extended plays for the first handful of years of his career that turned into a pocket passer like that, though?
Well, Brett Favre. He would run around like a mutant out there. Just all over the place, slinging it.
But when he was young, though, he still got the ball out quick and was boom, 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 because he was in the West Coast offense and had to.
What's the number one thing that coaches, quarterback coaches, coordinators all tell young quarterbacks that every time they get in the league, this is what happens to them? Because in college, what can you do? You can hold the ball. Mm-hmm. You can't hold the ball in the league.
Johnny Manziel.
You can't. You cannot hold the ball. You don't have that kind of time. Guys are too fast. Everybody's fast. And just in college, you're like, I'll give him time to separate. I'll go make a few guys miss and rotate. You know, no, they don't continue to separate.
Well, he's gotten away with it to this point in his career. And this is
Aaron Donald sacked him last year and messed up his ankle.
Oof. All right. 5-5-3-0-5. Not great for the Seattle Seahawks to start preseason, especially game number two. Moving the ball well offensively, defense, depth is the issue moving forward in that backup quarterback position. Especially. All right, time to fire it up. Case of the Mondays. What's bothering you? 55305. That is Better You Today. Text sign Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
It's everyone's favorite day.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
What do you have to complain about?
Monday.
No.
No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
A Case of the Mondays. Part of Dusty and Cam in the Morning.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, 55305, that is the Better You Today text line. What's grinding your gears on this Monday morning? Text coming in, 55305, Better You Today text line. Two-day hangover after a buddy's wedding, getting old sucks. That one coming in hot and heavy.
It's too bad.
The
self-inflicted.
The two-day hangover's brutal, and there comes a time where you experience it for the first time, and we say it often, like growing up, like, oh, never drinking again. But after you have a two-day hangover, it becomes a serious conversation in your mind. I don't think I ever want to do this again.
When's the last time you've had your own two-day hangover?
After the first weekend of May every single year when I go down for a football alumni golf tournament.
Things get dark.
There's a good run where I go, I don't ever want to drink again. I don't feel well until Wednesday. So it's actually like a 4 or 5 day hangover.
Ooh,
at that point.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't sound good at all.
No, it's not good. This texture says, hey, love waking up to a flat tire. This is number 2 in 1 month. Ooh. Do you have a bad neighbor who's letting the air out?
Uh-oh.
Maybe.
That's probably what's happening.
Maybe got an uneven wheel that's causing the flats.
Okay. I've never understood this.
Would you go let the air out of your neighbor if it irritated you, or would you just put a little knife in it?
No. I've never understood tire slashes. That was
I love
is
that there
what
wasn't
was
an option to do it or
say,
not
okay.
to do it. It's just how.
Just how. How would you do it?
Why tire slashers I've never understood. What goes into the thought process of a tire slasher?
It's a jilted lover. That's what I call it.
No, it's not, because it can just be an idiot. You know? Like, I'm really gonna get them. Proving your point.
Yeah.
Really
I think
well.
It's in the same vein of like keying someone's car, right?
Right.
Again,
yeah.
Don't understand that
no,
either.
No, it's garbage, but people do it.
Especially to randoms, you know?
Of course.
Like a random person you don't even know. Cam Cleland doing this segment standing up. What is your case of the Mondays?
I got a little rambunctious at practice this weekend. It's, you know, did some, you know, when you get down the stance, come out of the stance a little bit, you still got it. And then, you know, you're fine. And then all of a sudden you wake up, you go, I have an old man moment. So I got a little right leg issue. It's a little sore.
What'd you pull?
I don't know.
What muscle is it?
I think it's the quad, the
you
hamstring.
You think it's the quad?
The groin, the hip flexor. It's
you did
all
it all.
In that, it's all in that area. Just sore. You know, that old man soreness that you get
old,
in there.
Dude.
I don't. You know, in my mind, it's funny. I'll line up. I get a hand down. It's like, oh, I still got this. I can go, man, do the little, get a little hand spot.
Say, fire off the ball.
Those high school kids would probably kick my butt.
You think so?
I
is it making you rethink your one play that you would have in you?
I don't think I have a play.
You don't have one play in you anymore.
I don't have a play. I'd be dead.
You said that you would have one play in
you. Yeah, me hitting the ground and then carrying the stretcher.
Now you
there.
Do not have one play in you anymore.
Play.
Do you have half a play?
I have it. I could
you
snap.
You get lined up,
if
right?
If there's one thing I could go back, if I could do, I could snap.
Long snappers?
I could snap.
Such a good gig to have.
I get in there, throw a dart back there, and trot my way down the field and step off.
Well, hey, trotting down, that's how you get cut, bud. Now you gotta fly down there.
You can't. You know what's great about it? You can't hit the center anymore. It's the greatest thing. When I was playing, man, they could just knock your backside over. They could hit you in the top of the helmet. Oof. And it was awful. They'd line right up over the top of you. And you just, oh, gosh, I'm gonna get killed here.
All right, this case of the Monday is coming in. My wife would agree with this. Is those damn sugar ants in my house. I've been battling those little bastards for over a month now. I've had multiple exterminators out, but these little crab heads keep just coming up both upstairs and downstairs. I'm tired of it.
Those things are annoying.
We got...
I put baits everywhere in the house.
Home defense.
Yeah.
Ortho home defense. We sprayed it ourselves. It actually works pretty good.
Mm.
It works pretty good keeping them out.
Yeah.
You have to do it every couple months or so.
Yeah.
But
can't really get rid of them.
You just got to find out where they come in and out and spray around there. And then if they find a new way, you got to do that.
They're harmless. It's just freaky looking at this line of ants everywhere.
No, they're not harmless. they're annoying. And that's doing harm to my wife's mental state. She freaks out over ants, can handle a spider, can handle anything.
Really?
Ants send her over the edge.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. She hates ants with a passion. And the exterminators will tell you there's nothing you can do about them.
No, you can't. You're just moving them around.
There's billions of them on Earth, and right. they live underground. You can't really get rid of them. You just got to hope you can contain them enough. Ants suck. Buck, do you have any?
Tough weekend in the Buckley household. We lost our family dog over at the end of last week.
Not
that
the
wasn't
puppy,
easy.
Though.
No, not the puppy. The puppy's fine. 7-year-old bull mastiff had to get put down, which was sad.
That's a big dog, too.
Yeah, that sucks. That is a big dog. Yeah. That is a big dog.
Yeah,
that
she
sucks.
Was about 95 pounds.
Wow. Well, that sucks, Buck. I'm sorry to hear about that.
Yeah, it's rough, but we've got a couple other dogs that are keeping us happy for the time being.
Well, it's a dog family over there. Mm. Uh-oh, here we are. Teachers starting to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Waking up early to adjust kids to schedule for school.
Yeah.
Teachers going back to school today. Portland Public Schools. My wife teaches there. She went back to work first day today. Shout outs to all the teachers. Getting back to the grind.
Yeah, all you kids that have been going to bed at 10:30, 11, staying up, sleeping in till 10. All of a sudden, if you don't get into that routine, those first weeks, you're just like, you're zombie. Mm. I guarantee the teachers are looking at kids that are just zombies for the first 2 weeks.
I used to refuse to do that before the last week. I'm like, no, this is my last week of summer. And then, sure enough, that first week was just
It's miserable.
Awful.
You're talking 4 to 5 hour different of wake-up time.
Man, left my keys in my girlfriend's car this morning. She leaves 30 minutes before me, works 45 minutes away. No chance she can come back. Looks like you're Ubering to work.
You don't have a spare set of keys? Why don't you have a spare? Am I reaching here? Doesn't everybody have two sets?
Maybe she has the other set. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm just guessing.
You know what? My wife thinks that it's a good idea for the other person to have the spare key on their key ring.
Well,
she wants me to have the spare key to her car on my key ring.
What? Whoever said that's a good idea?
That's my point. Is that no, that's not a good idea. You want it at home. Because what good does it do you if you lose your key and I have it and I'm not with you?
Yeah, it's only good if there's a third key that stays at home.
There needs to be a third key.
On the grassy knoll.
Somewhere in the house.
Perfect.
Get a nice little lockbox. Make sure it's there.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
I don't know, man.
I'm sorry. I'm not with you on that one.
I'm not with her. Not with me.
Are you carrying it?
No, I don't carry it. She thinks that's the way to go about it. I'm like, no. That's not
good. No way that makes any sense at all, whatsoever.
Mm.
Zero.
Yeah.
We just fixed everything.
Sam the mailman. Spending all of my 2-week vacation money replacing my transmission and having to sit at home the whole time.
Sam, that's because you drive a Ford. It's your fault.
Wait, Sam.
I just guessed.
They don't let you take the mail truck home?
You don't drive the mail truck all the way down?
It's not your
Come
it's
on,
not your
Sammy.
Car?
You got to tell me what you drive so we know.
Wait, why are you taking shots at Ford? I drive Ford. I don't have problems with mine.
It's just fun.
My car fixed itself.
It's called a rivalry. Come on.
In the car game?
The car business. You're either a Ford or a Chevy guy. It's kind of how it works. Didn't you know that? You're a Ford family.
Yeah. I'm not opposed to Chevys. I have no problems with Chevys. Yeah. If they make a car that can get me from point A to point B, I'll ride it.
Great job on the fence. Would you like
a
biscuit?
It's a car. What? I proudly sit on the fence of cars here.
Right.
I'm not sitting here.
Wait. Holy smokes. Dusty Hera on the fence yet again.
Yes. Yes, Cam. This is the big
Captain
one.
Fence Rider. You have no idea the loyalty to your brand.
Yeah.
You stay with your brand. You loyal brand.
All right. Well, have fun with hating a car.
I don't hate a car. I'm just loyal. I'm loyal.
Okay.
Ish.
P1... P1 Dustin says he's going back to work in the night shift again, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. Oh, so you can listen to us on your ride home.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dustin. It was good having you at
Podcast.
Normal times, though. 55305. That is the Better You Today text line. Coming up next, overrated, underrated coaches. The Pac-12 leads the charge in one of these categories. Which one is it? Dustin Cam on the fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.